If you can take your Bibles, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And if you haven't been able to sign up for the couples retreat yet, if you can still are able to do that, take advantage of that opportunity to strengthen your marriage. And there still might be room for another couple there at the Amish place, otherwise formerly Amish place. Otherwise, there's other places you can stay at in the area. 1 Peter chapter 2, begin in verse number 1. Maybe we should all stand and try to quote it as a church. Let's go ahead and stand. This is our memory verses. We can pretend like it's Sunday school. And 1 Peter 2, 1, if you need to look down, you can look down. I know there's a couple of verses I have kind of rough. 1 Peter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 9. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer unto spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also here in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, a precious him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, is precious, but unto them which disobedient, the stone which the builders resolved, is become a corner, stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right, you may be seated. In this passage, we see some differences, some stark contrasts between those that are saved and between those that are unsaved. We see some things that ought to characterize those that are saved. And the first difference that I'd like to look at is that there is a different value system. There's a different value system. You know, if you are a believer tonight, there is a difference in your value system. And the center of that difference in value system is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ought to affect everything that you do. All the values, everything that we esteem as valuable in our lives, really is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 4, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. All right, this is a living stone, not a dead stone. You know, there may have been some Jews that maybe they were bemoaning, maybe they were facing, you know, the idea that, well, you know, the temple is going away, or you're not associated with the temple like you should be. But they were coming unto a living stone. Someone that was far greater, someone that had far superiority to the temple. Disallowed indeed of men. All right, it was disallowed. Disallowed is to regard as unworthy, unfit, and therefore to be rejected. You know, men look at Christ and they make an estimation of his value. But men, apart from the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, will make the wrong decision regarding the value of Christ. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, do we understand the inestimable value of the Lord Jesus Christ? So we come unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. And it also reminds us that men make the wrong choice as to what is truly valuable. And that is why it is so important that we do not look to the world to gain our system, to gain our ability to choose and to discern what is valuable. If you look outside and you make your determination on what has true value, you're going to make the wrong choice. And the reason you're going to make the wrong choice is because the most important choice that men can make in and of themselves, they will fail to make. The thing that has the greatest value in life, the person who has the greatest value in life, men left to themselves, will deem that person unfit and unworthy of their choosing. It's so important that we gain our values. So there's so many things that we can choose to place our value on. You know, whether it's how we choose to raise our children, you know, how we choose to, you know, select our, maybe our reading material, what we choose to make important in our lives. There's a value system. And when we look to the world for our value system, we will be left empty-handed. We see the Lord Jesus Christ is disallowed indeed of men, but he says, but chosen of God, and what? And precious. Something of high value. You know, when we look to God to make choices in life, he will give us the choice that has real value. Think of what you're going to do with your life, young person. You want to do something valuable with your life? Well, guess what? God will make the choice for you that will have real value to it. But if you make a choice based upon what the world says has a lot of value, you will be left empty-handed. Not only left empty-handed, but you'll bear the scars of what the world has said was valuable. So here we have chosen, the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen of God and what? And precious, valuable, something someone worthy of honor. Then it says in verse number 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. All right, so here we have, we are built upon this living stone. You know, whereas in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, maybe some of them were still fighting that idea of the physical temple, and maybe the value that Jews put on that physical temple. But they had something that was far more valuable. They had a firm foundation, a living foundation, not a dead stones, physical stones. They had something spiritual that they could build their lives upon. All right, and God's value system is one that values that which is spiritual over that which is merely physical. One of those things is in food. You know, there's a valuing of spiritual food. Verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The idea there of desire is to have a strong desire for something with implication of need. All right, to long for something. And you think of babies, all right, when they're hungry, they let you know. That stomach's empty. All right, and babies get hungry often. I mean they're gonna cry out for it. You know, you think of that Proverbs chapter 2, and it gives those descriptions of one who is really longing after wisdom. You know, and that's the kind of person that's gonna understand the fear of the Lord. And God wants us to have that great desire. We need to place that value on God's Word. We need to understand the need that we have for it so that we would truly long for it. You know, if we don't understand the need that we have for something, we have a hard time really longing for it. You know, I know my mother-in-law, one of the treatments that she received, and she said, you know, boy, every person that's a believer should have to go through this treatment, because by the end of it, in it, you're so thirsty. I mean, you're just, and then the only thing they'll do is maybe during the treatment is put like maybe a little piece of ice or something on your tongue. And she said, you know, after that, you know, where it says in Luke that he just wanted like a drop of water to cool his tongue. And, you know, that thirst. And, you know, when you have that desire for water, when you understand your need for water, boy, there's that desire. You want it. And as believers, we need to understand the value of God's Word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, and we have something to base that desire upon. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, have you ever gone to a restaurant and said, you know, when I come back to this restaurant, I'm going to order that dish again. Boy, that was good. You know, sometimes maybe you go to a restaurant and you're like, that's the last time I'm going to that restaurant. All right, Mr. Mark's Cafe in Waterford would have been one such place. And it's no longer in existence, but you know, that's another story in itself that I think I've told before. But, you know, there's some place you wouldn't go back to. And there's some places that you would go back to. You know, if so be ye have tasted. Well, obviously, if we're saved, we have what? We have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And, you know, if we don't have a desire for God's Word, we need to get in God's Word, so that we have a desire for it. Because we'll begin to see that God is gracious. You know, what's hindering that desire from being there? So there is a valuing of spiritual food. There is a valuing of true spiritual worship. It talks about, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. To offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, offering up spiritual sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 13. You know, the Bible teaches that if you're saved, you are a priest. You know, one of the Baptist distinctives is we believe in the what? The priesthood of the believer. You know, what was one of the things that priests did? Well, they offered up sacrifices. And it says in verse number 15, Hebrews 13, 15, it says, by him, all right, the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. All right, so here we ought to be involved in offering spiritual sacrifices. And one of those spiritual sacrifices is the what? The fruit offering praise to God. What? Giving thanks to His name. You know, when we gather together here on Sunday, we ought to value spiritual worship. When you have that opportunity to sing these hymns of praise to God, that ought to be something that's valuable. And it stems from the fact that Jesus Christ is our what? He is our cornerstone. He is the living cornerstone that our lives are built upon. And we have tasted that He is gracious, and we understand how precious, how valuable He is. You know, are you offering up spiritual sacrifices? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. You know, young person at school, maybe you have the opportunity to sing in chapel. Maybe you have the opportunity to sing at lunchtime. Maybe you have the opportunity to sing in the classroom. Do you recognize the spiritual sacrifice that you have the opportunity to offer? You know, at home, you know, maybe mother, you're a mother and you're at home. You're doing the dishes. You're doing menial work. Guess what? You have an opportunity to offer spiritual sacrifices, giving thanks to the name of God. You know, this is a spiritual sacrifice. You know, this is something in a way you can do what? Wherever you are. And now if you're in a sinful place, you're going to have, you know, a place you shouldn't be. You're going to maybe have a harder time doing what you ought to do. So we have this great opportunity to offer spiritual sacrifice. In the next verse it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. As we have the opportunity to do good, as we have the opportunity to give, that is a way that we can offer sacrifices to the Lord. And so we have spiritual worship that we can participate in. Hebrews or Romans chapter 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Every day we can present ourselves as a sacrifice to God. You know, are you a priest offering sacrifices? Are you offering those thank offerings to God, realizing how good and how great He has been to you? Do you understand the value of what you have as a believer? We have been given a different value system. The only way those sacrifices are acceptable are through who? Are through Jesus Christ. You know, in Revelation chapter 8, in verse number 4, think even of another sacrifice that can be offered. It says in our 8, verse number 3 and 4, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now think of the opportunity to offer prayers before the God of heaven. What a valuable thing that we have been given as believers. Do we understand the great value of that? You know, one of the great differences between believers and unbelievers is that there is a different value system. You know, it affects all areas of our life. You know, think of 1 Peter chapter 3, the next chapter over. You know, it says in verse number 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the what? The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Believers have a different value system. Here is something uncorruptible that ladies can adorn themselves with, something that's not going to pass away with time, something valuable in the sight of God. There are so many different areas that believers have ought to have a different value system in. And it's based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the center of that value system. And you know what? If Jesus Christ is not the center of our lives, our value system is going to be off. You know, if something else has gotten in the way, our value system is going to be off. There is a different value system. And really, that different value system stems from the fact that we have a different belief system. It says in verse number 6, "Wherefore it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You know, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will not be confounded. You will never be let down. It will be never something that would bring shame into your life. You know, there might be a particular candidate running for president, and you say, you know what, I'm going to put my stakes down on this person. You know, then a few years later, you're ashamed. You're let down. You know, maybe it's the next model of phone that comes out, or the next computer system, and you jump on it right away, and then 6 months later you find out there's problems with it. You know, but with Christ, what does it say? You'll never be confounded. You know, there's a different belief system. There is someone we can put our complete confidence in, and he will never let us down. You know, young person, you can put the complete trust of your life in Christ's hands. You can give yourself totally to him, and you will never be ashamed. You'll never have to have second guesses or second thoughts when you get to the end of your life of, why did I do that? Because the Bible says, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know, somebody that gets saved, after they get saved, why did I do that? That was a messed up decision. I mean, if somebody ever, got so messed up that they said something, I mean, you'd be in a messed up state to say anything like that. Well, the Bible says you're never going to be confounded. Yes, there is shame, so to speak, you know, that you have to bear for the cause of Christ. But you will never be confounded. It is something that you never have to be ashamed of. Something Christ will never let you down. You can put your stakes, you can put your trust maybe in a certain financial realm for the future of your retirement. And there's no guarantees for sure. You know, in the financial minute, there was different areas presented. You can only be given the best estimation. But with Christ, it's not the best estimation. It's something of sure value. And we need to understand that. And young person, you need to realize you're not going to waste your life. Adult, you're not going to waste your life if you put your complete confidence in Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to realize the great value that we have in Christ. Lord, may we be encouraged. May we also be challenged, Lord, to examine our own hearts and see, Lord, if our value system has gotten off. And Lord, the devil would want us to give in to the advertisements of the world, which are so deceptive, but yet so untrue, and trade something of no value for that which is of greatest value. And Lord, the fact that we have the greatest person of value ought to change the way we live our lives. Lord, I pray that we would meditate upon this truth. Lord, that we would think about it, apply it to our lives. And Lord, that you would be honored and glorified through it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.